Hey, you're listening to the Intentional Mind Podcast, and I'm your host, Ange Barnard. On this episode, we're talking about dreams. Not just your goals or your visions that you have for your life, but like the actual dreams that you have when you're sleeping. Because have you ever wondered what a dream meant? Like maybe you Googled something in your dream to see what it meant? Yeah, me too. Until I heard that your dreams are your subconscious mind's way of communicating with you, and it's all done through metaphors. So that means if you have a dream of your teeth falling out, getting cheated on, having a baby, falling off a cliff, whatever dream you have, this does not mean that this is literally going to happen to you, right? It means something else because the subconscious uses the language of metaphors to communicate with you. So it's all up to you to dissect that dream to figure out what the subconscious is trying to tell you. So what I learned from a very popular dream analyst is that the subconscious is using these metaphors not only to communicate with you, but to actually help you solve problems and make decisions. And when I heard that, that got me thinking about something else that also uses metaphors to help you, in a sense, live your best life. And that is the Bible, because there's tons of metaphors all over in the Bible. Think about it. You might have heard the quote, "The Lord is my shepherd." What the heck does that mean? It means that God takes care of you and guides you just like a shepherd would with his or her sheep, right? And then there's another one that says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field." What does that mean? That basically means that heaven is available to anyone who wants to seek it. So anyways, I don't know why, but that just came up for me when I was like, oh, using metaphors to communicate with you. And I think it's interesting because even in the Bible, like there'll be certain things, you know, metaphors that are in there, and we all interpret it very differently. And then, you know how sometimes people say, like, this was exactly the message that I needed to hear. Like one pastor's sermon can be exactly the message that someone needs to hear because they interpret it in a different way. And I think that so much in the Bible could be interpreted in a different way based on our own experiences. And I believe that's just the way God is communicating with us, right? And it's meant to be like that. So it appeals to different people and their different experiences. This is why I don't like to get wrapped up in like, it means exactly this, you know? It's like, no, I don't know what it's going to mean to someone, but I believe and trust that they're going to get the right message for them. It's just interesting how I made that connection, I feel, or I saw that connection between dreams, like the subconscious and like the Bible. I don't know. I just had to bring that up. Okay, moving on from that. So how one person's subconscious communicates is not going to be the same as how another person's communicates due to the meaning you place on certain things, due to your specific life experiences. So you may have heard someone, or you may have done this, like we had talked about earlier, like Googled a dream, like let's say that you saw cats in your dream and you're like, what does it mean when I see a cat in my dream? Like you type that into Google and then something pops up and it tells you what that means, right? Well, the dream analyst that I was listening to, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about her in a bit, she says that it's different for everyone because like what a cat is to me isn't going to be the same as what it is to you or someone else. So like here's an example that she gave. One girl was allergic to cats, and when she saw the cats in her dream, she loved them, but she was allergic to them. So it was basically like related to how she was dating this guy that she liked, right? She loved him, but he wasn't good for her. So it was the subconscious kind of telling her that. Whereas in my dream, if I saw a cat, it would mean something very different to me because I love cats and I'm not allergic to them, right? So I do, with that being said, want to share with you one of my dreams I had actually last night that sparked this whole episode and caused me to dive in and like look up the dream analyst person, because I remember hearing from her on another podcast a long time ago and I was like, oh, I remember I loved that podcast. I got to find that lady and I got to dissect this. So anyways, here I am sharing this episode with you. So let me tell you about my dream and then we can go through and use her strategies or her advice that she gave to dissect the dream. Okay, so actually, let's back up a little bit. Let me tell you who she is. So her name is Lane Dolphin, I think. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but she is known as the Dream Analyst, and she actually, her website is actually thedreamanalyst.com. So she's known for her work in dream analysis, and she's even worked with the Oprah team. So she has some books on the topic, and she speaks about it all over the place, and it's so interesting. If you go click on her site, you can find out information and dive deeper into the stuff. But I'm going to simplify it for you based on my own interpretation of when I've heard her speak in the past. Okay, so she says that hidden within our dreams are personal insights that make us better problem solvers, smarter decision makers, and masters at managing stress. This is what she says on her website. So what I want for all of us is to be intentional about what we're learning from our dreams, right? Actually see that as wisdom that is available to us. Even be intentional about, you know, remembering a dream. Because if you set the intention that you're going to remember your dream, you're going to be more likely to remember it. So some people put like a notebook next to their bed and never do the whole thing where it's like, yeah, I'll remember that in the morning, and then you completely forget it. Just actually start writing it out. Once it pops into your mind, or let's say you get woken up from a dream. Because if you think about it this way, this can help you solve problems. It can help you be smarter about your decisions. And then again, like she says, master stress. Master your ability to manage stress. Okay, so another thing that you've heard me say in the show is that, you know, 95% of the results that we have in our lives are due to the subconscious programs, right? So we need to learn how to better communicate with our subconscious. And analyzing our dreams is a way that we can be better at communicating with the subconscious. All right, so back to my dream, and then we'll dissect it together with the tips. So last night I had a dream that I was in my childhood home, and I went back to my little childhood room, and I had found that my cat had a ton of babies, like 20-something babies, right? And it was my actual cat. I think it was one of my current cats, Walita. It's like my smoky gray cat. She had a bunch of babies, and I was so shocked, and I was like, oh my goodness, like I was not expecting her to have all these babies. But what was really interesting is not that long ago, I was talking to Ian, and I had told him that I hadn't seen baby cats in a long time. I haven't seen kittens in a really long time, like newborn kittens. I'm like, man, I think it's been since I was like a little girl that I actually seen these newborn kittens. I would love to see some again, like really, really tiny ones. We were just talking about this because his parents own a vet clinic, and I asked if there was any cats that were having babies that were coming in at all, because I would love to see those babies and blah blah. So this was a while ago, and then recently I had this cat dream. So my cat has a ton of babies in the dream, right? So I run out of the room and I go get my sister Amanda and Kayla, so my two sisters, and I was like, oh, you need to come right now, hurry up. And they're like, what? So they run over and they see that my cat had all these babies. And it was just like an abundance of babies, right? And I was like, I was excited because I was like, oh, look at them, you know? But then I was like, what am I going to do with all these kittens? Like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. And my sister Kayla looks at me in the dream and she says, what do you mean? You're going to take care of them. That's what you're going to do with them. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, and you're going to do the right thing for them. So she was kind of, I think, meaning like, you know, if you raise them up and you need to find them homes or whatever, all will be well, though. Like, you are going to care for them. That's it. It's that simple. And I was like, yeah, you know, and that was the end of my dream. And I was like, oh, that was weird. So I wrote it down. And then I went back to dissect it with what I had learned from the dream analyst lady. So here's some of the things she says. She said, the first thing is to notice the things in your dream. And specifically write down, what do they mean to you? Are there certain things that stand out in your dream? What does that thing mean to you? So I dissected some of my stuff. So I thought about the cats. Like for me, cats, I love cats. So that means something wonderful to me. There was a bunch of kittens that I actually been wanting to see a bunch of kittens, right? So to me, I think that means abundance, blessings. And then what else I thought was interesting is that it came in a way I was not expecting, because I would not think that my Walita cat was going to be pregnant. One, I think she's like spayed. I don't think she can have babies. But anyway, so it was a way I was not expecting, right? And then she says to notice how you felt in the dream. So in the dream, I remember feeling like, whoa, excited, like telling my sisters to come and see this, right? But I was also nervous, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to handle this amount of abundance in my life. So the third thing she says is take the dream into your waking life and ask, what would you do if that did happen? And apply it to a current situation you're facing. Because remember, your dream, this is just a metaphor. It doesn't mean that my cat, Walita, is going to have a bunch of babies and I'm going to have to try to figure out how to care for them, or that she might be pregnant. It does not mean that, because this is a metaphor, right? So that means it's related to something that's already happening in my life. And the subconscious is trying to tell me something about it. All right, so let's take this into my waking life. Let's pretend that my cat, Walita, was to have a ton of babies. How would I handle that? So for me, I would handle it just like my sister had said in the dream. Like, I would just do the best that I could with them, right? Do the best that I could. I'd find a way to care for them all in the best way that I could. And it's that simple. So now I'm applying this strategy into something I'm currently facing in my life. So usually when you have the dream, it's the subconscious, right, trying to solve a problem for you. So it's most likely the thing that you've been thinking a lot about, and it's been working on solving that problem for you overnight, because that's what it does. So for me, a big thought in my mind has been about my business, because I've been gone a lot and I want to grow my business. But I also like want to serve well. And I think that there's fear around, like, you know, the time and just like, you know, if I can even get those opportunities, like the doubts, like normal human stuff, right? So that's been playing my mind. So I think what this dream was telling me is that unexpected blessings are going to come my way, abundance come my way in ways that I would, like, obviously unexpected, not expect. Because, for example, my cat, Walita, I would never expect her to have babies, because I don't think she can actually even have babies, right? So it's unexpected blessings, but I'd be excited because I'd be like, whoa, like this is, like, I wanted to see cats and here they are, a bunch of kittens. Now what am I going to do? This is scary because, you know, there's so much of them and I don't think I can handle this and, you know, whatever. So I think what it was telling me is that, okay, abundance is coming your way, but it'll be fine. Because you'll do the best that you can with it. You'll care for them in the best way, the things that show up that need you at that time. And that's it, right? You can trust that you can do that. So I think that's the message that I was supposed to have. Isn't that interesting? Okay, so let's go over, there's one more tip that she gave. She said to notice how the thing came into your space in the dream. And does that relate to how something else is flowing into your life now, metaphorically? So I just explained that, where it was unexpected that it showed up. Because I was like, remember, I told my sisters, like, I was all like, come on, hurry, look, this is crazy. You know, like, I had to go get them. And I was shocked and surprised. Like, that's how it came into my life. Another example that she gave was that she said, like, a lady was having a picnic and a bunch of ants were there in her dream, right? And she was like pushing them away with her hands initially, and it just got out of control. And then she ended up having to get Raid to like kill him. So basically what she said was that it had to relate to a situation where she felt good at first about something. Because when they dissected it, they realized to her, a picnic meant something exciting, right? Going out and having a picnic. It was exciting to her. And then the situation escalated where the ants were there and it got out of control. So basically what this was referring to something she was dealing with in her life that initially it was fun and exciting, but now it's not fun anymore and it's out of control. So that dream was actually about her having an affair So something outside that was related to the picnic too, where she was getting something that she wanted outside, like outside of her marriage. You see where the metaphors are coming in? And then it escalated and it was out of control. And then she used the raid to kill them, like the spray stuff to kill them, where she had to focus on them directly and stop it. So that led to her making the decision to stop the affair that she was having. So that's how she used that information. It was interesting, like, how this stuff works. Okay, so let me go over those again. And then I want to tell you another dream I had, because this one is a little more of a scary dream. And I know sometimes we have those where we wake up and we're like, thank goodness, like, that was a dream. That was terrifying, right? And then how do you dissect those? So I want to give you an example of a dream, and it freaked me out. And then after it was done, I was like, whoa, this makes perfect sense. So we're going to dissect that one. Before we do that, let's go over all the things again, because I want you to be able to have the tools to do this with your dreams. So the first tip was to notice the things in the dream and write down what they mean to you. So notice specific things that stand out, and then ask yourself, well, what does that mean to me? Like I said, the cats, what does that mean? Right? Babies, what does that mean? All of that stuff, you dissect them. So the second thing was to notice how you felt in the dream. What feelings did you have? And maybe you moved from different feelings, just like that lady who was having the affair, like she was originally having fun, right? Outside of the marriage, I'm saying that in quotation marks. And then it escalated and it was bad. Like, she didn't like how she felt. It was annoying, uncomfortable, like out of control, right? So you see how she's experiencing those feelings in her life currently when she was having the dream. Okay, so notice how you felt in the dream. And then the third thing was to take the dream into waking life and ask, what would you do if that did happen? And apply it to a current situation you're facing. So what she did was she realized, you know, she had to focus on the specific situation and then end it. Okay, and then what I did was I realized what? If I had a bunch of cats, I'd find a way to care for them all. I'd do the best that I could with them. It was basically like, I'm going to trust myself and know I'm going to do the best that I can with the blessings that have been given to me, even if it is in abundance. The fourth thing was to notice how it came into your space in the dream. And does that relate to how something else is flowing into your life now? Metaphorically. Okay. So let's go on to my other dream. This one I wrote down in my phone when I had it. So I'm just going to read to you what I wrote down. Here we go. I said, I had such a scary dream last night. I was an adult in my childhood home driveway in Ravenna, Michigan. This shady looking guy in a junky car slowly drove by. His car was filled with pop bottles and he seemed to be looking for more. He saw me and stopped and said, now there's a nice pop bottle. He started licking his lips and got out of the car. I ran towards the house and started yelling, Daddy, Daddy, as if I was a child, but I was an adult. Then the garage door of my childhood home swung open and my dad said, what, honey? I ran in and yelled, shut the door. He shut it and I ran to lock all doors and windows. I explained that this creepy guy was outside and he said, it's all fine. He ain't coming back. Shortly after, we heard loud banging on the garage door. My dad opened the door and there was two guys outside, including the creepy guy. Another had black hair to his chin. He said, hey, I noticed you're doing some work on your car. My dad had car parts all over the garage and a car lifted off the ground a bit because he was always working on a vehicle, because most of the time they were like broken down. So car parts everywhere and this car lifted in the garage. And my dad said, yeah, I got some projects I'm working on. And the guy said, cool. Man, I thought you may be able to answer some of my questions about my car and you know what part to get. And my dad said, yeah, what's going on with it? And he said something about the motor. My dad lit up. He was happy to tell the guy what he knew and how to help. Then when we expected the guy to leave, he grabbed a bat and swung it, cracking my dad's head and others outside that I couldn't remember who they were. So there's like more people out, but I don't know who they were, but he hurt them too. And then my older sister Amanda and I slammed the door shut because we knew our dad had died. As we were trying to lock the door, the guy was pushing on it, but we got it locked and ran barefoot to the back of the house in shock. We said we need to get out and run as fast as we can to the woods. We opened the back door and ran and ran and ran. As we ran, I saw my childhood rabbits in my dad's barn, and I remember feeling so sad. So I grew up on this little farm, and I had my own like rabbits, and my dad was always outside in his barn. It was like I was leaving that. So I wanted to cry. I was shaking, but I felt like my life depended on me running. So I kept running to the woods with my sister, going to this wooded area where we often got lost in as like kids. We'd always play in the woods and we'd get lost in there. And then the weather changed to snow, and we were running in the snow, and I knew it wouldn't be long until our feet couldn't handle the cold because our feet were like getting frozen. And then I woke up in a bunk bed in my albergue when I was in Spain. So this dream I had was when I was hiking in Spain. And I remember waking up in my bunk bed feeling like so scared, missing my dad, and just like wondering like, why the heck did I just have that dream? Like, what was that even about? All right, so now we're gonna dissect that crazy, scary dream. All right, so the first thing was to notice the things in the dream. What do they mean to you? So for me, pop bottles stood out to me, right? Just my childhood in general, the rabbits, the barn, the snow, that stuff stood out to me. So the pop bottles caught my attention, which is why I even talked to the guy, because I noticed the pop bottles he was looking for, and then he said that weird statement about licking his lips and saying that there's a good looking pop bottle or something, referring to me, right? And then the pop bottles, like as a kid, my dad used to take back, you know, the pop bottles, like, because in Michigan you get the deposit back. So my dad would take these pop bottles back, and then you would, you know, receive the deposit money back because we're recycling them. And then we would use that money to like get ice cream or whatever. And it was like, I was excited to take the pop bottles back because that meant we were like going somewhere. So pop bottles to me actually meant that I was headed somewhere that I wanted to go. Even though it was creepy in my dream, but pop bottles, that's what it actually means to me. So, and then, you know, that childhood stuff, I was like, I was leaving behind what I knew, like my, you know, my past, like the rabbits, the barn, all of that stuff. And then I was running into the woods specifically that I'd often get lost in. So I was running into this territory that I didn't know, that I didn't know very well. And the snow in general is like, I haven't been a huge snow lover, even though I grew up in Michigan. Like, I just don't like being cold. So that showed up again in my dream. It's like I was doing something that was hard for me, like being cold in the snow. I don't specifically like that, right? So the second thing was, how did I feel in the dream? I felt scared, helpless, but then I had to get focused. And I relied on what I knew. So when it got hard, I just relied on what I knew. Like, I know that I could run that way, and that will take me somewhere promising, right? I don't really know what is in the woods, but I know beyond that it's something that will serve me, right? And the third thing is, what would you do if that happened in real life, right? So apply it to your waking life. So for me, what would I do is I would keep going no matter how hard it was, right? If I faced that situation, oh, that's terrifying and so traumatic. But what would I do? I would just keep going. I don't really feel like I would have the choice to just freeze there when I just saw like people I love get murdered. I mean, I need to keep going and find a better, you know, to whatever, wherever is better than here, like in that dream, you know, because I didn't know where I was going, but I needed to get away from the situation to something better. So you think about what was going on at my life. So I looked at the date on that. It was October 3rd. That was the day that I stayed in an albergue when I had, my knee was starting to bother me and the hike was just getting really challenging. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to make it for the rest of it, because I didn't know if my knee stability was going to be good. Because, you know, like years ago, I had torn my ACL. I never got surgery. And it's very stable, but I also have not hiked like hundreds and hundreds of miles on a knee downhill with weight on my back, with 30 pounds on my back, you know? So this was extra pressure on my knee, and I was like, I don't know if I can like do the really hard hills that were coming up. Can I finish this? So it was like some doubt that was coming up. So anyways, that was the day that we made the decision to keep going down the path that we wanted to. And I think what was happening is my subconscious was saying that to keep going. It was telling me to stay focused and to keep going no matter how hard it gets. And that was an answer that I was looking for. During that time, I remember Ian and I were stressing out because we were like, that was the time we were about to hike onto the Camino Primitivo, which is the harder route to finish out the trail. And we were like, should we do this one or should we stay in the northern route? We had to make a decision. And we were worried that if we got in the harder route, my knee couldn't handle it. Now, if I would have been able to dissect dreams then, wow, the answer to what I was seeking would have came in my dream. Did it come in a weird way that was kind of scary? Yes, it did. But remember, this is all metaphors. So when you think about it this way, it's like dreams aren't really that scary. If you start to think that it all means something else, I don't know. Like, that's good to believe, I think. It's going to make me look at my scary dreams very differently. Ooh, and another thing I wanted to point out is that there was a lot of stuff in my dream from the past, like the rabbits, the barn, stuff like that. And it was like telling me I needed to let go of what has happened in the past to move forward. And in particular, when you think about my knee, what was causing me an issue that time and making a decision about what route we were going to take, if we were going to continue on and the harder route that we wanted to do was my knee. I was like, well, I don't know. In the past, I tore my ACL. I don't know if it's going to be stable enough to do this. And if I would have been able to dissect this, I would have learned that my subconscious was saying like, yeah, you're good to go because you just forget that. Don't think about the past now. Stay focused on what you want to do and create. And I think the whole killing of my dad craziness that happened with that, that's very traumatic. I think that was showing me that like when it's so hard, because some parts of the trail, like it was just really hard for me. And I, you know, not to the level of dealing with trauma like that. But I think that it was telling me like you can stay focused and you can go. You can be so strong, Ange, even in the hardest times. I think that's what it was telling me. Anyways, I hope that you got a lot from this episode and it got you thinking about your own dreams and got you thinking about how you can gain wisdom from the dreams. So use the tips that I gave and dissect your dreams and let me know if you learned something, if it helped you make a decision or how it impacted your life. I'm going to post the tips into our Facebook group, The Intentionalist. If you're not a part of that, get into that group. I'm going to post the links into the details section. Also, if you want to be the first to know about the Clarify Your Vision program, get the bonuses that go along with it because you do, then go to angebarnard.com/CYV first to know. That's the best link, and that'll also be in our detail section of this episode. If you haven't left us a review and you've been liking the show and listening, then please go leave us a review. Have an awesome day, awesome dreams, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.